Two long readings. It's hard to choose. The korban means dedicated to the temple, which means part of the money that the scribes and Pharisees and priests could have access to. So it's like saying, if you want to give to our college, you don't have to support your mother and father. That's why our Lord was after them for it. Often did things like this, you see. He knew, I mean, like, some of these Pharisaical laws only dated from the exile. The Pharisees got together and said, here in exile, if we don't have a way of life that's peculiarly our own, we'll just get absorbed. And so they codified the way of life that was Jewish in the turned out to be the Mishnah and the Talmud later on. And in so doing, sometimes they did things like this, which were wrong. The movement was, you know, very heartfelt. If we're going to keep our identity as God's people, we have to codify our way of life. There is a deep connection between faith and culture. John and Paul II once said, a faith which does not become culture is a faith which has not been fully received, completely thought through, or thoroughly embraced. Faith does give way to a way of life. And then, of course, that's the challenge for us, to have a way of life. We just can't live like everybody else. We believe in God and in Jesus Christ, who has died to save all mankind. Well, that makes your way of life different. That's important. Different doesn't have to mean opposed, but recognizable. There's only one day in the year when you can really spot a Catholic, and that's Ash Wednesday. We were so anxious when we first came over here as Italians and Polish and Irish and so forth to fit in that we surrendered some of that, which we shouldn't have. I really wanted to talk a couple of minutes. You see, this text in Genesis 1 is a foundational text, you know, teaching us about humanity. Yes, the living creatures, and then the God made all kinds of wild animals, all kinds of cattle, and all kinds of creeping things. And God saw that it was good. Ki tov. Then God said, let us make Adam in our image after our likeness. Let them, Adam, the human race. See, it doesn't mean Mr. Adam and Mrs. Eve. See, male, it takes male and female to make Adam, which is extremely important. And if it had been grasped, we wouldn't have had so many injustices perpetrated against women in our whole culture. See, let us make man. Now, only of Adam is it said, he's the image and likeness of God. Now, he's going to come down, we don't have time to go into this, capable of relationship. See, male and female, they make up Adam. But they also relate, which also images God, not known at that time, because God is triune. God is what someone once called subsisting altruism. God is love. And man, Adam, is his image. You see? God created Adam in his image. I keep saying Adam, so you get the idea. It's not just man as male. You see? In the divine image, in the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So this is a teaching about the very foundation of the human race. It's very profound. And it's not ancient, you know, in the sense, well, it's out of date. No. I used to teach this text, along with others, at the John Paul II Institute on Marriage and Family. Well, the first thing you got to know, if you're going to talk about marriage and family, is who's man and woman. And so it derives from this, and then transposed by Paul. Huh? God blessed them, saying, be fertile and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion, and so forth. But the key to all of this is image. Selah. Now, it's a divine quality. The word Selah is often used to describe, a king puts images of himself all along the borders of his kingdom. It represents him. And this is my land. So, but man, Adam, represents God. He is supposed to take care of the universe, male and female. And you just heard what happened to Josephine Makita, you know. The exact opposite of that kind of awareness. Only human beings are the image of God. Because they're capable of relating. As God is a subsistent relation. Now, what makes them capable of relating is all the things we learn in Philosophy 101, intellect and will. But it isn't just intellect and will so we can build bridges. It's so that we can relate. That's the key. And so when the Lord died for us, rose again, what did he do? He formed a body. We are the body, actually, the spouse, the flesh of Christ. And so that's what the church is. You see, the church is the place where this divine intention can be realized. Because we have divine life in us, because we receive the Eucharist. I can't go on now, but you can see. And then it all ends. You see, it's complete. The heavens and the earth, all that array were completed. Since on the seventh day, God was finished with the work he had been doing. It's okay now for a translation. God blessed the seventh day and made it holy because on it he rested from all the work he had done in creation. The sanctity of Shabbat is a thing we've almost totally lost. Everybody else has lost it. Okay, they don't know Jesus. We got to preach it to them. But we can't lose it. It's sacred. This genius or group of geniuses who made this text, were mystically enlightened. And the completion of all the work is to enjoy it. To rest and worship. And that's the most precious thing. It's useless. It's useless. Like a volleyball game is useless. Volleyball game is not the most efficient way to get a ball across a net, right? But there's another reason for it. And useless things are beautiful. What are you going to do with gold? Make cars out of it? Make swords out of it? You can't. This precious metal is useless oh, now we use it for filling teeth and so forth. But the most precious things, and this relationship, Adam, male and female, that's friendship. That's precious. Shabbat is precious. It's to stop and admire and appreciate all that God has done, not only in material creation, but in my own soul, in your soul. I gotta quit.